Welcome to Geeks of the North, a hobby and gaming podcast in the Dolph of Angus. We're here to paint some miniatures and talk about the hobby, so why don't you sit back, relax, grab a paintbrush, and enjoy the show. Welcome to Geeks of the North, your hobby and gaming podcast in the Dolph of Angus. This is Season 2, Episode 1, and I'm your host, Paul Filio, here with my co-host, the illustrious Antoine Bergerot.
Illustrious?
Yeah, well, I was going to say luxurious, but that makes you sound like a carpet. How's it going, Antoine?
With how fast my hair grow, it's almost true.
Send some my way, man.
I'm doing well, you?
I'm doing okay. I can't complain. I could complain. I'm painting a fairly terrible model. But aside from that, life is good. I'm still on the proper side of the turf. Things are going okay. So this is our relaunching of our podcast.
Mm-hmm. We took a break.
Yeah.
And a real break. In the past, we've skipped a bunch of the main shows, but we also stopped the news this time. That's the first time.
Yeah, we had a main show?
Yeah, it seems. Somewhere in the past.
I only vaguely recall it. Wow, this model's terrible. What the hell is she wearing? Sorry, I'm... So let's go over this a little bit. So we've decided to change the format somewhat. We're taking a more slack, more fun approach to podcasting. So we're here hobbying, and we're going to blabber on, and hopefully you guys can listen while you're doing some hobby, and it won't be so distracting and entertaining that you'd forget what you're doing and stop hobbying, but it shouldn't be so bad that you turn it off instantly. That's our goal.
Yeah, that's about right.
And I'm sitting here working on some Snakeskin, who's a Guild Ball model. She's wearing some sort of weird harness thing, which seems to perhaps wrap around her boobs randomly. But it's hard to say because the sculpt is not very detailed. At least in that part, it didn't fill very well, the casting. So I'm going to have to look at pictures on the interwebs. And realize that, no, in fact, that's not what's going on. Okay. Wow. That doesn't even look like the same model. Well, someone who is a far better painter than I made this thing look...
different.
Less bad. Let's go with that. Good may be a stretch. Definitely less bad. She's an early sculpt at a Steamforge, so they had a lot of things they were trying to do that they couldn't quite execute properly. I think it was some of the first digital sculpting their sculptor had done. So the original models have some awkward poses and some weird details. Now, on the whole, she's still a pretty model. We're not talking 1990s GW stuff here, like that makes your eyes bleed. It's nothing like that. It's just a little awkward.
Well, on my side, I'm also working on Guild Ball with the upcoming Season 4 release. I'm trying to get some new models out for my butchers. I've been playing for 3 years, and I still have only the base 6 painted. Adding a bit of variety to my lineup would be good. So I'm working on a Mitok.
Yeah. I have no idea who that is, but I'm sure he's deadly.
It's a girl, the girl with the two Mitoks.
Oh, clever.
Yeah.
Clever, I never saw that coming.
Yeah. She was one of the worst models in the guild in the first 2 seasons, but she's been updated for Season 3, and she plays a lot better now.
Well, yeah. This is currently one of the worst models in the in the union that I'm painting. Mm-hmm. She gets updated next season. We get a sneak preview of her card. For those that don't know, Guild Ball this season's, they're not really, they're slight rules tweaks, so they're not really whole new versions, and they come fairly frequently. So I think Guild Ball's been out for 4 years, we're on season 3, season 4 is going to come out in October. Mm-hmm. And while she's not a terrible model, there's just no reason to play her. That's the problem. The team she plays for has tons and tons of choice, and there's not a whole heck of a lot of reasons to play her. But we've seen a sneak preview of what she's going to be like, coming soon to a Guild Ball pitch near you. And it looks like she might be interesting in certain types of games. So I figured, what the heck? I've got everyone else painted up for this team. I might as well paint her. On top of that, there's a tournament this weekend that I'm participating in for Guild Ball. Our buddy Steve is running it. And I figured maybe I'll pull her out and play her. And I won't know what she does, but neither will anyone else. So element of surprise will be mine. Or theirs. But whatever. What could go wrong?
Same thing as your Avaris game this week.
I don't want to talk about that.
That's fine.
That model is terrible. a couple things. I guess we'll talk about it. This isn't a Guild Ball podcast, but and we have one of those too. Guilds of the North, same channel. People who are hearing this have probably been ignoring that one. So I'll give you some information now, and you can't escape it. So, I played him, and he's interesting. He can do a lot of things, but he's kind of a big bruiser, slow and easy to hit, and he's got victim defensive stats. And playing against a team that does lots of burst damage, they just obliterated him before he could actually get anywhere and do anything terribly useful. So it was a little frustrating. That was diplomatic, wasn't it?
Yep.
I'm learning.
Yeah. You should.
Well, it's been long enough, right? I didn't say he was absolute shite and that Steamforge should be ashamed of making me play him.
Nobody forced you to play him.
Well, you know what I mean. In the sense that they shouldn't give you models that are that terrible to play. Like I said, he's not that bad. It's just it was not a good matchup for him. And I was trying to play something different. I've been playing the same kind of team lineup lately. And I won't lie, it is a fairly powerful lineup. And you know, it comes a time where it gets kind of boring to always face the same thing, get your crap kicked in. So I figured it was a good opportunity to try some new stuff and expand my horizons. I won't be making that mistake again. You like that, Antoine?
I'm going to try new things, but only once. If it doesn't work, I'll be back to the same old.
I'm a gamer. What are you expecting from me?
I don't know. Faction EDD? Model EDD?
Well, I got a fair enough of that. So I have to say, Faction EDD has not been a problem with Guild Ball. I do have a few factions, but there are several people out there that have, like, every faction. I'm looking at you, Steve. Well, actually, almost every faction. He's been downsizing.
Yeah. It's lucky you don't have much. You have, five? It's not just a few.
I don't think I have five, do I?
Union, Church, Falconers, Fish.
Falconers.
Morticians.
Oh, I forgot my Morticians, yeah. I don't count those. I didn't pay for them.
Your call. Yeah. So, as you said, people will have to expect maybe less structures in the show. You also mentioned that we are stopping the news. So the news show by itself will be gone.
Well, didn't we announce that a while back? Or did we just not... We stopped recording.
We just stopped recording. We were supposed to record a show explaining it.
And then never happened.
Yeah, we wanted to stop it because we didn't have time with the family. And the family prevented us to record the show that explained that we were stopping because of family reason. So it kind of fits.
Damn families.
We're still going to cover some news, but we won't be exhaustive. Like, I get a couple things I want to mention today. And
yeah, we won't be making Antoine do a second full-time job to do research.
It wasn't that bad.
It wasn't far, Antoine. Let's be honest. You took it very seriously, which I commend you for, and I thank you for. But it was a huge strain on your time that you already don't have any of. So, I salute you, sir.
Yeah. So, that will be on. Another change we are thinking about, that's not fully set in stone yet, but we are thinking about maybe streaming the show. Either just audio, maybe video, if we can manage to get a way to stream both cameras so people can see what we're rocking on while we're chatting. We're not sure if people would be interested in that, though. So please comment. If that's something you would like to watch, we will try and have a regular schedule. That will also help us maintain the schedule if we know if people are listening.
If you want to watch me paint like crap for an hour, this is the channel for you.
Yeah, but that way people can comment and we can answer live.
That's true. That's true. I just know Yom is going to log in and start commenting. That would be entertaining.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Be no holds barred. Much like the original intro for this episode was.
Mm-hmm. So if that's something you would like to watch or listen to and comment live, we would probably be recording on the Monday nights like we are doing right now, which was our usual news time slot.
Yep.
Let us know, and we'll try to figure something out, and maybe start in some weeks once we have tested it out.
Yeah, I have to look into multi-source video streaming. I know you can certainly do it with OBS or something like that. I used to. No, this isn't going to work. I used to listen to Painting with Menoth John, which was a podcast hosted, unsurprisingly, by a man named John. And he used to both upload a podcast and do a live stream with a co-host. And the co-host appeared as a separate window, like an overlay in his vid stream. I'm sure it's possible.
Mm-hmm. Just finding how to do it. Exactly. We'll be working on that in the coming weeks. And if people are not interested in it, well, at least we'll know how to do it.
Yeah, we'll work on it anyway. If people are interested, so there.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, I think it's going to be fine. I mean, you know, the point of the podcast was always just to be kind of casual, kind of lighthearted, and just give people something to pass time with while they're working. And then, you know, and we wanted to talk about hobby stuff, which we did. But, you know, the funny thing about hobby topics is unless you can effectively demonstrate what you're talking about, it's pretty hard on an audio medium to convey much, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So it was less than ideal. I mean, you can talk about theory.
You can talk about theory all day, Paul.
Yeah, Lord knows I can talk about theory. Execution's not my strong suit, but I can talk about the theory behind stuff. And I get the impression you were taking a shot at me there, Antoine. Just saying. I didn't miss it, I just ignored it. Now that we've kind of gone over that, what should we talk about, buddy?
What have we been doing since all that blank time where we disappeared?
Okay.
I guess I'll start. I painted a bunch of Guild Ball stuff. A bunch of Guild Ball stuff.
Yeah, Guild Ball, and then more Guild Ball, and then more Guild Ball.
Yeah, it seems like it. And I played a bunch of Guild Ball. We've had a mini Guild Ball revival here in our gaming group. I won't say our meta.
After the National, before the National, it really helped people got back into wanting to play, preparing for the National, and after that, it just kept going.
Yep. And the group is small, but dedicated. So that's always nice. People enjoy playing it. I won't lie, I'm missing some of my other games. I'm missing War Machine quite a bit. But I can't make it on the War Machine gaming night. And I don't think I'm necessarily a good fit with our local meta. And we had a gaming club going on here where we could play, but that kind of fell apart. It was basically in someone's basement, and they moved, so things changed, obviously. That's no one's fault, that's his life. So that kind of killed my War Machine gaming. But Guild Ball had started picking up at that point, so I jumped ship, so to speak, picked up my Guild Ball. Played a couple small tournaments this summer. Did fairly well. Well, fairly well. Technically, I think I won both of them, but they were tiny, so we won't really count that as anything significant. But they were a lot of fun. I enjoyed it, so I figured, what the heck, let's play some more. And then I went down to Nova, went to the Nova Open with Steve, and played down there. That is a cool event, folks. If you ever get a chance to travel, I'm gonna lie, it's reasonably far away. You're talking 10.5 hours by car or whatever. But it's a pleasant drive, all highway, and a fun event. It's a good size. It's a lot of fun. Highly recommend it. And it wasn't very expensive. That was the nice thing. The Con Hotel, $85 a night, I think, or $95 a night US. It was $95 a night US. And we stayed across the street at a very nice hotel, which was, I want to say, $80 a night. Plus parking, plus whatever. And if you don't want to drive it, you can fly. It's actually 2 minutes away from the Reagan International Airport. And technically, I don't know if that's Washington, D.C., or if that's Arlington, Virginia, because they're right adjacent to each other. There's a cross river from each other. The Con is definitely in Arlington, but it's kind of advertised as Washington. So was there, played some Guild Ball, played some War Machine, did a couple, I'm going to say casual events for War Machine, but it made me laugh because a lot of people play War Machine like they're playing for the universe, no matter what the event is. So, it was enjoyable all the same. I got my butt handed to me by a 12-year-old. He was playing Maelok. It is a brutal list to deal with in a 50-point format. A single list 50-point format. But he was a good kid. Just like most kids. Yeah, they take things seriously when they play.
It's not like we don't know a bunch of adults who take stuff too seriously too, so.
Yeah, but I didn't really want to bring up Yom. So, sorry, Yom. That's not true. Yom's a good guy. I enjoy playing against Yom. In fact, I volunteer to do it, so. Either I like it, or I'm a masochist. The jury is still out.
I'm figuring you out kind of Katniss style. I volunteer for tribute. I'm going to take the beating for you all.
And so we played, Steve and I played a lot of Guild Ball down there. I even get to play one of the Steamforge guys. It was kind of fun. I made some friends. And now we're looking at going to a team event in November down in Massachusetts for a day. And, of course, there's Captain Con next year, which is on our radar now. And it's
lots of Guildball.
Lots of Guildball. Shaping up to be pretty fun. I can't complain. Let's see. Did I do anything else of interest this summer? I don't think so. Not miniature related. Lots of 3D printing.
Yeah.
Working on all kinds of widgets and wondrous things. Tournament trays and just all kinds of stuff. Mostly for fun. Some of it to sell, but mostly for fun. And I think that's about it. How about you, Antoine? What have you been up to?
Less than you. That's well, for sure.
Your life tends to be more hectic than mine. That's saying something.
Well, usually it's not so bad, but for the past year, with my wife's injuries, it really didn't help. It's nothing major, nothing life-threatening. It's just most of the time she can't do much, so that puts more strain on my time. I have to be home for the kids and for her, so less free times. But mostly Guildball, like you. Less Guildball than you for sure. And the big difference is I played a bunch of Relic Knights too. The new second edition rules were previewed in June. And I think the week after that I started playing, mostly against Daniel Arsenault, another buddy from our local meta. And I've played maybe half a dozen game as of now. That was helping me. I have my Friday afternoons off during summer, so I don't have to be with the kids because they were at daycare or at camp. So I was able to go out for games during... That was the only time I was able to go out for games. So I took it while it lasted. It's over now that September is back. So hopefully I'll be able to game sometime. But that second edition of Relic Knight is so good. The feeling is similar to the previous version, but it's less quirky. They really made me work the card mechanic for the action. They changed it a bit. The scenario mechanic changed, and everything was changed to for the better. Games are fast, cinematic, really fun. I didn't have a single bad game.
That is very good. And actually, I started painting that too because of you.
Yeah.
And your evil polygamer ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the true way.
Yeah. But man, those models are tough.
Oh, yeah, I'm thinking about the game quality, not the model quality.
Yeah, the first generation plastics are
lackluster,
I think, is the nicest thing I can say about them.
Yep. And it's probably the top thing. There's not really much you can say other than that. Yeah. Our second edition will come with just resin models, and the resin is really good. So... There's at least that. The price would go with it, probably, however. I'm sure it's not going to be as cheap as the plastic was.
No, that's true.
But you don't need much to play. So.
And the plastics we got as part of a Kickstarter years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we got copious amounts of them.
Oh, we got far too much for the level of play. So, it's crazy. I think I sold part of my stuff, and I still probably have enough for... I got two factions, and just my paladins, the Shattered Swords, which are the main faction I decided to keep. Even with selling part of it, I still have enough to probably do two or three cadre. So that gives you an idea that the there was a lot of stuff in that KSR.
Yeah. I mean, we certainly waited long enough for it.
Yeah. We're still waiting long enough on the second edition, too. That one is not going fast either.
It could be worse. We could be waiting for Super Dungeon, was it Legends?
Yeah, Legends, yeah.
Actually, I say that, maybe you are. I'm not sure if you backed it.
No, I didn't. I already have two other editions of the game. I just want the new rules. I didn't have to back for... Especially as the base Kickstarter was a second edition of the base game, so I already had all those models. Sure, the new ones are a lot better, but it's not like I paint that fast and need duplicates.
Yeah.
So I skipped that one.
So. Yeah, I know I came very close because I want a version of the game that's... Like, I had the first edition of the game, and it's fun, but it's clunky, and there's a lot of things that don't really work well.
Mm-hmm.
And I have just the basic game. I never got the kind of expanded rules.
Yeah, the Forgotten Kingdom.
Yeah, exactly. So, excuse me while I get farther and farther away from the mic while I look for paint.
Yeah. The only other game I played during the summer is I tried Aristea.
Oh, yeah.
It was just a quick intro game. We didn't even finish the game. We just played a couple of turns. But that was surprisingly good and fun. If I wasn't already having an arm length list of stuff to work on, I would get that box and start painting and play. You don't need four models to play. Kind of a Guild Ball style. Like the tournament format is 8 models, and you play 4 of those in each game. Guild Ball being 6 and 10 right now, 6 and 12 pretty soon with the fourth season. But still, like 4 model, board game format, the rules are pretty fun. The game is fast, too. So, eventually.
I think that's key there, right? The fast game.
Yeah.
I think a lot of these companies have realized that, you know, if people want to play a long game, they're just going to play 40K.
Yeah.
No offense to anyone else.
It's not but that I think fast. But it's not the length of the game that's fast. It's the play style with the alternating activations and the reactions to your to the opponent action. So you're always in the game, and that was true with Relic Knight too. So you don't have a full half an hour waiting for your opponent to finish his move and his shooting and everything like you have in the 40K or War Machine. So that I really enjoy now.
Now that we're old and have no time.
Yeah. I'm moving farther and farther away from those bigger games.
Back in my day, when you wanted to play a game of 40K, you had to give up your whole weekend.
Yeah.
Though I do have to say the new version of 40K is pretty fast and furious. Comparatively,
yeah. Totally. That's about it on the gaming side. Besides, I didn't paint much comparatively to you.
Well, yeah, but you've been doing other things.
Yeah, I've been mostly sculpting this year. So, not much done. A bunch of small... cute-ish model. I finished a nipple ballerina by the end of the summer.
hippo ballerina. Sorry, it came through sounding weird. It came through sounding like you said nipple ballerina, and I didn't want people to run with that.
No.
So, hippo. It was in a hippopotamus, hippo. Yeah.
Yeah. A pogicorn, which is a pug and unicorn mixed creature. A small cartoon owl. I finished a second goblin too. So, a lot of sculpting. Also, did sculpting for terrain. Most of that is not done yet. It's a work in progress for an Ariel, the World of Trilight. but it's still ongoing. So a lot of sculpting that took most of my time. The few painting I've done, just in the past week, I finished painting Aquila, the last model for my Arena Race starter. So I'll finally be able to play that. If only my three other co-hosts had started painting theirs.
Sir, I have started painting mine.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, starting and finishing are two very different things.
Yeah, for sure.
But I've got two different models started for mine, I'll have you know.
Oh, there, it's some progress, for sure. Yeah. The other thing I painted recently is the stuffed unicorn I did earlier this year. Impact Miniature, I've been doing a new version of it. So they scanned the model and reduced it in size. It's about 20 millimeter, the small version, comparatively to the bigger one, which is 32 mil. There's some slight change on the model when it was corrected by the 3D artist that I just did the scan. And I just finished painting four Impact Miniatures for their display model for their shows. So this was sealed this morning, and it will be in the mail soon.
Oh, I didn't realize that was for Tom, right? Tom's his name?
Yep, exactly. That version is for Tom.
Well, so. I had no idea. Because usually they have an in-house artist that paints their stuff.
Yeah, I offered. He was already sending me a sample. So, and I know he preferred to have them painted for the shows and for the website, but they have a list of stuff to do. So I offered to paint that one, and I might as well. It's every sale he does. It's licensed, so if we sell, he does. I get some scraps from. So I. If it helps sale, I might as well paint it so it gets there faster.
Yeah, no, for sure. I didn't mean to imply that you shouldn't have painted it.
Oh, no. Yeah. I didn't take it that way.
I was not saying that at all. I think it's pretty cool. I mean, the fact that you have something being sold commercially is pretty awesome. I'm sure I will see it at Adepticon when I go, because he's always there with his booth full of little chibi men.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I think he's got a Kickstarter going on right now, doesn't he?
Yes.
I saw some Chibi Sisters of Battle that are calling to me.
Yeah, no, that's not the same thing. He has a Kickstarter going right now, but that's stuff from an old game that was scanned and put back into production with his 3D printers. The other thing is Heriberto is planning a Kickstarter. An upcoming Kickstarter in October, the guy from Capsule Minis.
Oh, because I thought it was being I thought I was saying it unlocks.
Maybe I'm mixing other stuff.
I thought I saw it like unlocked was like the Saint Celestine equivalent.
No, I saw a Sister of Battle style chibi today, but it was for that. The Capsule Chibi upcoming Kickstarter. While the Kickstarter running right now by Impact is not chibi.
100 miniatures rescued from failed Kickstarters. Nice. That's cool. The lost Kickstarter miniature line. That's weird. I could have sworn I saw that as an unlock. That's good. No, I haven't missed it then. So, because Chibi Sisters of Battle are my jam. Speaking of cool stuff, actually, did I interrupt you? Were you still talking?
No, maybe. I'm not sure where I was. So
we're talking about Impact and your model and how I'd see it on display at Adepticon.
Oh, that's about it.
Okay.
Well, on that point, if everything goes unplanned and everything works out, I'll try to go at Adepticon this year, and I might share a booth somewhere and have some of my other chibi-ish models there.
What? I don't believe it.
Yeah.
I call shenanigans.
Well, you already brought a bunch of the unicorn last year. So they will be just there, but in bigger numbers. I'll have to get molding and casting in preparation for that. And the other models that I sculpted, like the ballerina and the Pogicorn, have not been casted yet. But they will, and they will be available eventually. I wasn't sure I was going to do it, but I've decided that I want to take the plunge and have more available.
Well, good for you.
And that's it.
No, I'm trying to think what I was going to say before I realized I'd
you talked about cool stuff or cool models.
AMSA.
Yeah.
So a little shout out to the. Sorry, the Alberta Miniatures Painters Society of Alberta.
Yes.
Because they want to make sure you know they're in Alberta, which is part of Canada for now. And they every year they do a model. They did one last year, they do one this year. And proceeds basically go to funding local events and growing their painting society. And this year it's the it's a ninja bust. And it is awesome.
It is.
And what's important to note is that it's surprisingly cheap considering the scale because it's in Canadian dollars. So U.S. people looking at it may say, oh, $65 is pretty expensive. But then you have to subtract 35% because our dollar is worth nothing at the moment. So this makes it a remarkably good deal. If you're in the U.S., and a very fair price if you're in Canada. Yes, I said Canada. Deal with it. Apparently my basement is dry, Antoine, because my wet palette's drying out faster than I can get it wet. It's like one of my high school girlfriends.
Whoa. But you were nice free-forming. Was that the girl problem or your lack of skills?
Oh, well. The world may never know. This is still PG-rated, isn't it? I should probably turn that down a notch. Go back to contenting myself with insulting Yom or something.
Yeah. So the model is cool. The ninja bus. You already mentioned the price.
Antoine tries to pick up the ball. Yep.
One thing, there's a second Ed variant. I've not seen it, but it is available. There? Yeah. So it's just mentioned in the notes for it, and I've not seen that version.
Maybe it comes with like a hooded head or something.
Yeah, probably. Or with a mask. Cool. That remains to be seen. But
it does have lovely features, so it'd be a shame to cover them up.
Yeah. Well, just the armor and the pose, the two arms are already really detailed. So it would be a loss, but it wouldn't be that bad. It's a different thematic.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And speaking of cool model, there's a second thing I want to mention. Max Mini. MaxMini.eu have released a Desert Dweller unit. So it's a proxy for Talarn Guards. And nice. Talarn have always been my second favorite Imperial Guard unit.
Talarns are they're originally like the Arabian Nights style, right?
Yes. The Desert Cavalry and Tank Riders. They were really cool, the old Game Workshop Metal. And those new ones by Max Mini are awesome.
Yeah, back when GW used to do cool stuff like that. Though, mind you, they're getting back to that now.
Oh,
They're going back to their roots, so it makes a lot of us old fogey gamers quite happy.
And yeah, they're really good, and they're pretty well-priced. The full 10-man units is €28.
These are resin, right?
Yes. And multi-part, so you can pose them and switch parts or do some pose adjustments. That is
a very good price, actually, for 10 models.
And it's a complete squad. You get 8 troopers, a sergeant, and a special weapon.
And it's probably a good time to launch that stuff too. Though I don't know if there's any Forge World Talar and stuff available anymore.
No, I don't think so.
Or actually, I don't know if there ever was. I say anymore, but I don't know if there ever was for Talar. But with the price changes in the U.S., that's caused a lot of drama.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a good time for all these alternate model companies to strike. You know, take advantage of disgruntled people who want to buy high quality models, but feel that they've been burned by Forge World and the price increase. Now, I'm not saying Forge World did anything wrong by any means. I mean, companies are there to make money. So only they know what their profit margin is, so maybe they weren't making any money. Because I don't think they'd increase their pricing in a long time anyway. So maybe someone just woke up and went, hey, you know, we're not adjusting for inflation or currency values or anything, and you know, we're hurting ourselves.
Yeah, not an economist ear either, so I can't cut. Well, no, I could come in, but it wouldn't be of any significant importance. So.
Well, it would be based on gut feelings and whatever. And, you know, as we know on the internet, that's all you need.
Yeah, sure.
You can say whatever you like based off no facts at all and, you know, get on your soapbox because that's the world we live in.
Mm-hmm.
Don't need facts. I don't need facts. My feelings were hurt.
Last thing we could maybe talk about, the last episode we released was about the preparation for Color Ton Monde.
Oh, you had to bring that up, huh?
Yeah. We don't have a lot to go over. The event didn't happen. We didn't reach the required pre-registration to make the event makes sense when we added the cost of material for preparation and the cost of the room and everything. Sure, people could have showed up at the door on the day, but there was not enough talk, not enough people
indication
confirm people. Or indication that would have happened. So we had to cut our last and sadly cancel the event. Talk about. We'll see maybe for next year if we change the format, do more promo. The date has been mentioned often in the comments when we did a post cancellation survey, and that seemed to have been the major point in people not being able to come.
Yeah, it's weird, right? Because you do it in winter, and it's like the apocalypse out there, and no one wants to come because it's winter.
Mm-hmm.
You do it in summer, everyone's on vacation. Do it in fall, while my kids are going back to school. There's Labor Day, we're away. That leaves spring, I guess?
Yeah. Which was our original date, but we had to move back because of timing issues. So we should maybe have waited a year more and launched it for next spring. Who knows? So, sadly, we can't comment on how the event went. It didn't go.
Nope. That is true.
There's not much else to say about that.
That is also true. Sorry, I'm... if I start swearing uncontrollably, it's because I'm trying to paint a little tiny mask on a model where the details on the mask, the lines aren't really there.
So you have to freehand the details of the mask.
Yeah, except there's supposed to be, like, filigree in the mask.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's just not going to be there on my model. oh, well.
Yeah,
so the Color Ton Monde was disappointing. I get it. People were away, summer vacations, stuff, things. But it still sucked.
Yep.
I mean, obviously there was a financial loss there on our part, which luckily the Club Chaos covered that out of the funds they'd accrued over the years. But still, it would have been nice not to take a loss at all. I guess that's just the way it works sometimes. Actually, can you still hear me well, Antoine? I just realized I'm talking to my chest because I was painting.
Yeah, I do hear you still.
Okay, good, good.
Your voice carry, even on your chest.
All right.
So,
you're coming out okay, Snakeskin.
Is there much other stuff you want to cover this week?
No, I think we're doing okay. I've probably offended a few people. I've insulted Yom. My night's complete.
So I think that's enough for this week. By keeping it that short, we might even be doing it weekly. We've not talked about that. Are we getting the old supposed schedule of bi-weekly, or are we going with shorter and do it weekly like we're doing the news?
Well, why don't we see how it goes?
Yeah.
We'll see if we're back here next week.
It will be weekly.
Yeah, there you go. Or at least it'll start off weekly. Who knows?
Yeah.
We'll have to see. Time will tell. I hate to commit to anything on the first go round. Because maybe no one will actually want this, and we'll get a bunch of complaints about how people hate it. And then it won't be anything, so. No promises out of the gate. Except if I don't promise anything, I don't have to be lying. All right, buddy. It's been fun as always.
Yep, it was.
And I guess we'll see you probably next week, maybe, possibly.
Yeah. Bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks of the North. You can follow me, Paul, at PRFilio, Antoine at Eltonio Berg, Steve at B_Steve, and if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by La Drave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out a United Geeks Network family member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com, where you will find Indie Conquest, a blog helping indie board game designers succeed, providing useful resources from designing games, utilizing Kickstarter, and finally manufacturing and distributing your games. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at UnitedGeeksNetwork.com.